Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Wednesday, everybody. Hey, Cannabis Kid.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing a lot better than I was yesterday.
Well, that's
so
good.
I threw my back out. It is my sciatic nerve, which I touched briefly on yesterday. So I am healing in bed this morning.
Well, we are sorry to hear about that and sad that you're not here. We're also sad that our Sativa sister went back home and she's not here either. So, Silver Sister, have a wonderful trip home. And we miss you. And
we miss you already.
Yeah, we will see you shortly. Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, everyone. June 22nd, 2016. Happy summer, everybody. It's summertime. And boy,
I don't know what clock they're following.
Started a long time ago. In Tucson.
About 2 months ago.
Yeah. At least June 1st, someone flipped that stupid heat switch on, and we've been over 110.
For sure.
Pretty ridiculous. But that doesn't stop us from loving cannabis. Woo! We love our cannabis. We love our cannabis kid. And there's a lot going on. You know, Whoopi's in the news. She is taking her topicals to market. Did you know that? Whoopi Goldberg.
I did. I heard that. She has her new cannabis line.
Kush and Whoopi. Whoopi and Maya are teaming up. Whoopi Goldberg has announced her entry into the cannabis industry. The veteran pot smoker is taking her talent to the world of medical marijuana with the announcement of her new company, Whoopi and Maya. Whoopi's venture is a partnership with Cannabis Cup-winning pot chef Maya Elizabeth, founder of Ohm Edibles. The company's focus is on cannabis-infused products that reduce menstrual pain and discomfort. Whoopi and Maya's signature line will initially offer four products: a THC-infused tincture for serious discomfort, a relaxing THC-infused bath soak, a topical rub for localized pain, and raw sipping chocolate infused with CBD or THC. Currently, Whoopi and Maya products are only available to California medical pot patients. The signature line is available in select dispensaries throughout the state. Whoopi is proceeding carefully with her new business, telling USA Today, "I want to go nice and slow with this. I don't want this to be a joke to people. It's not a joke to women." That's right.
Nope. Very nice.
Because that time of the month comes around. Ooh, that is not a joke. That's awesome. I'm glad that they're teaming up to do that. We got some girl power coming in, and it looks like some good girl power. Ohm Edibles are pretty cool, I hear. They've been in California for quite some time. It's a girl growing company, and they've done really well. So that's awesome. Good for you guys. Wouldn't you be totally thrilled if one day you get a call from Whoopi?
Would you like to carry our products? Well, soon. I mean, there's going to be the movement of products from one state to another. You know, as we get more, I guess, embedded in this legalization from state to state, lightly said legalization. Still not federally recognized. Still many articles are popping up talking about rescheduling all the way down to each state taking it into their own hands on how they're going to handle this.
The DEA is now saying, let's put it to Schedule 2. And we're all saying, no, but that's all right.
Well, there's a reason why they keep on doing this, and it's so they have enough time to get their ducks in a row and have all, you know, the time that they need, but it's not like that, and I don't think it, you know, it's been helping people for many years, and it just doesn't seem right to keep it from them anymore. Thousands.
No, not at all. It's a personal choice, really. I don't care if you drink Coke or Pepsi. Or use cannabis,
right.
Or, you know, ibuprofen for your headache. Whatever helps you. Just be nice. You know what I'm saying? Don't infringe on me.
Right. Exactly.
The DEA wants to remove the barriers to cannabis research, a spokesman told a New Domain in a lengthy interview today. But how and when will it reschedule cannabis as a Schedule II drug? So it says a DEA official responded at length today. To a widely circulated report that the DEA plans to effectively legalize medical cannabis this August. In an interview with a New Domain today, DEA staff coordinator Russ Baer wouldn't confirm the Santa Monica Observer report that the DEA will reschedule cannabis as a prescription-only Schedule II drug August 1st, 2016. But he did comment at length about the agency's thoughts around legalizing medical cannabis and how rescheduling cannabis from its current Schedule I would have to work. Baer, in his comments, went well beyond the prepared statement the agency gave to the Houston Chronicle and other media covering the story early today. And we can read a little bit more on that if you want. It goes into kind of the history and just kind of what you were talking about, like why. It says it's a complicated plant. First off, the decision to reschedule cannabis isn't a simple one because cannabis biochemistry is so complex, Baer said, and the variety of forms medical cannabis now takes are many. What is under report right now is how complex the marijuana plant is, he added, pointing out that as it has hundreds of chemical actors or cannabinoids. I like that, chemical actors.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have tiny little faces.
Nice word.
I know what pinene looks like or THC looks like. THC,
right.
9-tetrahydrocannabinol and cannabidiol, CBD, are two main ones, but even those are dramatically different. Also, we're talking about synthetic THC, CBD-based treatments, oils, extracts, edibles. The challenge for researchers and government agencies is to identify the parts of the plant that might have benefit and separating out the beneficial parts from the ones that aren't beneficial or harmful. So that's an interesting statement. He needs to do more research. The DEA is thinking about various cannabinoids as well as the many forms for treatment, like THC tablets for nausea in AIDS and cancer patients, or CBD for easing seizures in epileptic children, suggests that DEA may not be contemplating an all-or-nothing decision for cannabis where it's all prescription only or nothing. If the DEA is truly thinking hard about the different parts of the plant and the some 480 compounds it contains, as well as the forms medical cannabis can take, that suggests a more comprehensive, structured approach is possible. Of course it's possible. Consider this. This thoughtful editorial that ran a few days ago in the Denver Post. In it, cannabis policy attorney Tom Downey examined the myriad of ways the DEA decision could go. The DEA, Downey said, could partially legalize medical marijuana, and the federal government could usher in a new era with a comprehensive and multi-structural approach to pot policy by rescheduling cannabis to a federal prescription system, leaving state decisions on medical and recreational use intact. As you'll see, many of the DEA comments today stand in line with such an approach. We aren't holding ourselves to any artificial time frame. Since April, media reports have been reporting that the DEA will announce its decision on how or whether it's rescheduling cannabis or medical cannabis products. And that's due June 30th or July 1st. That date comes from a 28-page DEA memo sent to a group of U.S. senators in April. But that letter, the DEA's Baer told a New Domain, was leaked. But plans change. We are not holding ourselves to any artificial timeline, he added. So this goes on at length, and I'm going to post this because it's super long, and I don't want to get too heavy into this. I don't want you guys to get too bored. But basically, cannabis has been Scheduled One for so long, no one's been able to touch it. And I think they're thinking, well, we might as well just schedule it too, and then, quote, it's medical, and then, you know, you can prescribe it. So it's crazy. People just want it off the schedule altogether. That's what we're hearing. I'm seeing comments about just getting it off altogether. What do you think, Cannabis Kid?
Well, it's a plant, and we need to get back to that. And
very well
needs
said.
To be...
It's a plant. Yeah, it's a plant. Did I lose you?
Nope, you didn't lose me. I'm still here.
All right. So it's a plant, so check into that. And hopefully the DEA is doing all sorts of research on the different cannabinoids and the terpenes and the different effects that it can have positively and negatively because, you know, pot can really mellow you out. And if you're on some heart medication to mellow you out already, you don't kind of want to mix things. You know what I mean? You got to be careful with your body no matter what you're putting in it. Coffee, water, cannabis, caffeine, you know, whatever it is. You got alcohol, you have to be careful. It's your body and you have to know it. Check this out. Pot, wine, bread, milk. In 2015, Spokane County, Washington sold more legal marijuana than traditional food staples, bread, milk, based on figures from the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board on a poll of household expenses by the U.S. Census Bureau. Can you believe that? That's awesome. A total of $43 million was spent on pot in Spokane County last year, which breaks down to $226 per household. By contrast, the typical resident spent $155 on milk and $110 on bread. Bud's even bested the county's wine consumption average of $155 last year. Only beer topped pot with a per-home average of $233. And there's no sign of pot purchase slowing down. A monthly sales in Spokane topped $5 million for the first time in March 2016. At that pace, reefer retail in the county is projected to soon surpass revenues in bookstores, museums, and even live concert venues, according to the Washington State Department. Wow. Go Washington. That's awesome. You got to love that.
They're taking it full force, for sure.
Well, this is just the beginning. Like they said, this is just the beginning. And they, you know, so if their numbers are right, they've got $226 of pot per household and $233 of beer per household. So I see those beer numbers going down and those pot numbers going way up. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we still have a lot of people who like their beer and their alcohol. And I don't see a lot of people. Well, I mean, I see some people switching over, but as time goes and it gets to be something that they're comfortable with doing, I've just heard a lot of people, they just don't like the way that pot makes them feel.
Yeah.
And,
that's
you know, it's the onset. It's the onset. It's the something that you get used to. And it also slowly fades away. You don't get, those onsets aren't as heavy. So, you know, as you're using it, I mean, the first few times that you've used alcohol, you were probably throwing up a lot. I mean, that doesn't seem like something, of course, that's what it remembers for me. You know, you do a lot, you drink a lot to get to this desired, you know, place. And with cannabis, you don't have to use so much.
You do
just so little. And I think, you know, over time we've been, you know, you roll a joint or you pack a big bowl or, you know, like High Times kind of feel of how pot generation and the revolution was kind of going on is that we probably weren't taking in, we were probably taking in too much. And slowly we're finding out this microdosing, using it as medicine. You know, some people need to use more, but some people need to use way, way, way less to get that desired effect or that feeling of being better, a sense of pain relief or helping out with any one of their conditions. You know, if they can finally feel that small part with not having the large amount of that feeling of the psychoactiveness or the heavy onset of sleep, it might be different to different people.
Yeah, absolutely, because everybody's different. Speaking of different, something silly. You guys, when you're traveling, I'm going to read something out of High Times magazine really quick. The latest issue has Wiz on the top. It says Wiz loves pot. so when you're traveling, be smart with your cannabis items. Are you ready for this one? It says, did you pack your grinder?
Yep.
Marijuana grinder shaped like an explosive device. It looks like a hand grenade. Caused a stir at a Washington State airport in April as TSA agents screened passengers inside Bellingham International Airport. They discovered a device that looked like a grenade inside a traveler's carry-on luggage. Officers
searched the bag
and found a camouflage object resembling a hand grenade. The discovery led to a police investigation and the evacuation of the screening and boarding areas of the airport. Four flights were delayed as a result. Ultimately, the police department's bomb squad examined the object and concluded it was a grinder designed to resemble a grenade. The owner of the grinder was detained, but then released and even permitted to board his flight. Officials made the usual assurances that the TSA isn't looking for drugs, only objects possessing threats to travelers. Sorry, what an idiot. I don't know who did that.
Yeah, that would not have.
That's not cool. And that's what perpetuates the whole stupid stoner stigma. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That
and stereotype.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stereotypes. They're wrong. But this idiot did that on purpose to see if they could get away with it. You know that. That wasn't a, oops, I packed my grenade grinder and I'm going on a plane now.
Right. I just can't, especially being the size. And I'm sure it was, because if you think about it, you know, grenades aren't that big. They're about the size of a fist.
Oh,
so, I mean, that's about the size of...
Oh, it's ridiculous. So check this out. Jaywalking in D.C. The Secret Service treated a giant fake joint carried by protesters like it was a threat to national security during a recent pot rally in Washington, D.C., according to event organizer Adam Eidinger. The 51-foot inflammable J was hoisted up like a psychedelic parade float marching towards the White House. However,
oh my gosh,
a rush of Secret Service police attempted to block the 500 marchers who were chanting "Free the Tree for PTSD" from bringing their symbolic prop all the way to President Obama's doorstep. Authorities, citing security concerns, deflated the giant joint. But Edinger and company blew it back up in front of the White House in time for the 420 ceremony. Of course they did. So look at all this money we're spending. Well, first of all, the grenade person, you know, you called out bomb squads. You delayed four flights. You cleared everybody out of an airport, and they still let him get on. I would have said, go home and try again tomorrow. That's what I would have said. Now this, what is wrong with a giant J float? Do we not have parades where giant floats take over streets for periods and periods of days? That's funny, though. So, anyway, Mr. President.
It's so true. Calm down.
51-foot inflatable joint in your honor getting passed around your streets. That's awesome. R.I.P. Mr. Nice. And we're on page 26 of this week's this month's cycle. Well, actually, August. We always get way out in the get these at Tumbleweed Health Center, 5350 Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come on down. We're going to have some crazy wicked sales. We're going to have some summer hours coming up. We're going to give a couple weeks where we're going to let our doctors have a little bit of a break. What do you think? I think that's a nice idea. We're going to have some super sales on certification. The doctors are going to, we're going to have some 10 to 3 hours, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to have crazy accessory sales. We're going to clear out for, you know, they're already getting ready for school. So why don't we do that? We'll just clear out house and get ready for fall. I love it. That's so funny. America cannot be where it is right now. Where are we? June 22nd. We're preparing for fall. Anyway, RIP Mr. Nice. Famed marijuana smuggler and counterculture figure Howard Marks has passed away of cancer at the age of 70. Marks, widely known as Mr. Nice, began trafficking pot while studying at Oxford University. Through his smuggling career, Marks is said to have teamed up with the Mafia, the Irish Republican Army, the Yuzuka, the Brotherhood of Eternal Love, the PLO, and many others to move thousands of tons of pot and hash. Marks often made use of Rock Band's touring gear to smuggle pot without even letting them know. Marks had the reputation of a rakish figure who eschewed hard drugs despite a legendary jet-setter lifestyle. He proved elusive to law enforcement over the years and even beat serious smuggling charges in 1980. However, in 1990, he was sentenced to 25 years in prison in the United States, but he was released in 1995. Marx reinvented himself as an author and a marijuana activist later in life. After his cancer diagnosis, he told the Observer, "It's impossible to regret any part of my life when I feel happy, and I am happy now." So rest in peace, Mr. Marx. Yeah, I should see the giant donuts.
That's nice.
So we've got some moral issues with the fact that our favorite initiative has now backed out of the race here. But if you go to tumbleweedcellcenter.com, you can check this out. This is interesting. Arizona congressman publicly endorses marijuana legalization. Arizona Congressman Ruben Gallego announced today that he is endorsing the Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act, an initiative poised for the November ballot. The proposed initiative would allow adults 21 and older to possess limited amounts of marijuana, establish a system in which marijuana is regulated similarly to alcohol, and enact a 15% tax on retail marijuana sales. A majority of the tax revenue would be directed to Arizona schools and public education programs. Forcing sales of this plant into the underground market has resulted in billions of dollars flowing into the hands of drug cartels and other criminals, said Rep. Gallego. We will be far better off if we shift the production and sale of marijuana to tax-paying Arizona businesses that are subject to strict regulations. It will also allow the state to direct law enforcement resources toward reducing violence and other more serious crimes. Gallego, a Democrat who represents Arizona's 7th Congressional District comprising of Central and South Phoenix, as well as Western Maricopa County communities, announced his endorsement at a news conference on the House lawn of the Arizona State Capitol. He was joined by leaders of the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana-like Alcohol, CRMLA, in Arizona, a group that is supporting the initiative. "I am proud to support this initiative as it represents a far more sensible approach to marijuana for our state," mentioned Gallego. "It will make Arizona communities safer by also generating much more needed tax revenue for our schools." That campaign is wrapping up its petition drive in support of the initiative and will be submitting its signatures to the Arizona Secretary of State's office prior to the July 7th deadline. Whoa. What do you think of that? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'd like to read about that. I mean, this, I'd like to see this initiative in depth. Let's, wow. But I think you can. Where I'm going to post, if you go to tumbleweedcellcenter.com and you go to the news section, it's the first news article. And then they need 150,642 ballot signatures by July 7th in order to get on the November ballot. And it says in summary, the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana-like Alcohol, CRMLA, allows adults 21 or older to possess and privately consume and grow limited amounts of marijuana. It will remain illegal to consume in public. Establish a Department of Marijuana Licenses and Control to regulate the cultivation, manufacturing, testing, transportation, and sale of marijuana. Create a system in which licensed businesses, dispensaries, for example, can cultivate and sell marijuana to adults. It will provide local governments with the authority to regulate and prohibit marijuana businesses and establish a 15% tax on adult marijuana sales in addition to standard sales taxes. Tax revenue from Arizona recreational marijuana industry would be used to fund the implementation and enforcement of regulations, as well as be allocated to the Department of Health Services for public health efforts and to the Department of Education for construction, maintenance, operating costs, and full-day kindergarten programs. Recent polls found that 53% of Arizonans support full legalization. So there you have it. That's the and then you can, there's also a link, you can learn where to sign the petition as well. So
it's a nice online petition. Good.
Yeah, so yeah. There. And I'll put that link up there too in case you're all interested. But this is interesting with MPP and then this going up. People, I really, really, really encourage you to do your research, get educated about this, and really read. Because I don't think the people that I'm not going to say all of them because you can't say that, but I think a lot of people that were signing MPP's initiative had no idea what they were signing. Most of the MPP people that took around, you know, their staff that took around the initiatives at events and festivals and fairs and whatnot. They don't explain the initiative at all. I can't tell you how many times I've run into them and they say, "Here, legalize marijuana, sign this." And that's all they say. And so people say, "Cool, right on," and they sign it. And they don't understand what they're signing. they do that with a lot of initiatives. Right. We think it's really important.
This is going to legalize marijuana. Here, sign here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get. I mean, technically it is. Technically it is. But there's a lot of things that go behind when you legalize the marijuana through the MPP initiative. I mean, we saw that, you know, anything over a certain amount, you're still treated as a criminal in the eyes of the state, which if this is medicine, then you shouldn't be treated like a criminal for taking your medicine. So that's where we were really kind of on for patients. It really doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah. No. We always go back to this point, and it should just be the choice that you want to use to heal. Cannabis is a plant. Like you said, it's a non-toxic plant. It isn't for everybody, but everybody should have that choice. We all have the choice to go in to get extra strength Excedrin or Tylenol or ibuprofen, which will just rip your body right apart. Might get rid of the headache, but it's going to get rid of your kidneys after a while too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So we should have the option to have, you know, better choices. We were, Silver Sister and I were doing a little book research at Barnes and Noble the other day and came across some healing books, you know, herbs and different ways to heal with herbs. And was it in there? No, not at all. It's not in any of these things yet. And it needs to be back in these books because people need to know that it's just one of those, you know, natural plant options that you can choose. And since we're getting all back to organic and stuff, give it back. Give us back our plant, don't you think? There you go. Give it back.
Give us back the plant.
That's right. Give us back the plant. So that's going to be interesting.
Set that plant free.
Set that plant free. It's going to be really interesting to see with that interest, that initiative coming up. CRMLA. Yeah. Very, very interesting. All right. Guess what? Microsoft is entering the marijuana industry with new software. Oh, my Lord.
Yes, I heard.
Federally, most major corporations have kept far away from the industry, but Microsoft is breaking barriers by creating software to help dispensaries track their marijuana from seed to sale. The software will help dispensaries inventory their products while operating under the regulations set by state marijuana industries. More states are legalizing marijuana in some form, which is a large portion of the reason that Microsoft has decided to jump in on the industry. In November, at least 5 states will have recreational marijuana legalizations on their ballots, New York Times reports. Microsoft representative Kimberly Nelson said, "We do think there will be significant growth. As the industry is regulated, there will be more transactions, and we believe there will be more sophisticated requirements and tools down the road. Microsoft will be entering the marijuana industry with software only. The software giant is working with Kind, a Los Angeles startup company. Kind built the software that Microsoft will be marketing. This is a major step in the marijuana industry as the tech giant tiptoes into this controversial industry." Founder of Kind, David Deinberg, says, "Every business that works in the cannabis space, we all clamor for legitimacy. I would like to think that this is the first of many dominoes to fall. The Azure government software is the only software program related to the marijuana industry. The cloud program is expected to be easy to use and secure. Kind and Microsoft have applied with Puerto Rico to provide this software to its marijuana businesses. Additional applications with individual states are expected to begin soon." That's awesome. Well, there you go. Everyone's getting in it. And they're getting in it big time. That's huge. That's pretty good.
Well, with all the systems that need to be created with this seed to sale and so many, but just me and you, Belle, being at the conference last year, we noticed that there were so many people out there starting this kind of business, whether it's a tech business or an app, being able to track everything about their products. And with this being such a technical age, having apps to be on the phones. So there's even app companies that are going after this, Leafly, Lead Maps, things like that, that can get people their cannabis easily and fast. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, those are great apps.
And right. So yeah. It's just been happening so fast.
Yeah. go to California and hit Weed Maps. Just go there and hit show me where I am, and you'll see all the dispensaries that pop up. It's pretty great. Check this out. You ready for this one? Before we take our marijuana coffee break, some marijuana companies allow marijuana office breaks. FlowHub, a marijuana tech company that provides seed-to-sale software for marijuana dispensaries, allows marijuana breaks during working hours. Kyle Sherman, co-founder of FlowHub, says that marijuana use at work has proven to improve productivity for the tech company. Employees are allowed to use marijuana-infused edibles and vaporizers to their office. FlowHub is not the only business in Colorado that allows marijuana consumption at work. MassRoots and Hi There, both marijuana-related apps, also allow the consumption of edibles during working hours. MassRoots founder Isaac Dietrich says, "I thought up MassRoots when I was smoking weed in my college friend's apartment. Our general philosophy is that we need to be as productive and creative as possible every day. If cannabis facilitates that, then we're doing it and we're allowing it." Hi There, co-founder Darren Roberts also allows marijuana use on company time, as he states, "It has led us to breakthrough moments for our business. So yes, it's been very effective for us." Both co-founders of FlowHub use marijuana products while working, usually toward the end of the day and during creative meetings, according to Fox 13 News. Sherman says that our philosophy at FlowHub is to get the beep done. So if it helps our employees get work done, then we don't care if they consume at work. He goes on further by saying it definitely services new ideas and fresh takes on things. Sherman reports no issues with client satisfaction or productivity from employing marijuana consumers. That's awesome.
Wow, that is awesome.
They get up and they smoke a giant bong before they go to work, and that'll last them quite some time. So, yeah, you get to lunchtime, maybe have some vaporizer or a gummy bear, and then you go home and have some dinner. And all the while you're creating.
Go home and have some dinner.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh.
I love it. You want to know what else I love?
What do you love?
Puff. I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop. This is fucked. Walk into my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs will be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old. So it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right. Tuesday, Wednesday. Thank you all for listening.
Welcome.
And in. Cannabis Kid, we hope you're feeling better. I was just posting here. If you guys have any topics that you want us to research or anybody you want us to interview, we'll gladly get them on air. We'll do our best to do so. We've been trying a while to get Dr. Melamed on. He's a busy, busy boy. But he'll come on sometime soon. And I'm just sitting here, I was saying, drinking some green tea and having a little LSD in my bong. What you got going on over there, Cannabis Kid?
I had some Otto Berry Ryder this morning.
Ooh, nice. That helps with pain.
Yeah, so that's what I did at like 5:30 this morning.
Wow.
And so now I'm just kind of relaxing. And so it's my sciatica. So it runs down the left side of my leg and up into my lower back. So when it freezes up like this, I'm not able to walk very well. It kind of allows my legs to be very weak. And it just shooting pain up and down the leg and especially in the lower back. So it just is, it's actually a lot better this morning than it was yesterday. So I'm actually going to go see my sister after the radio show. But I wanted to talk to people about that PTSD is not just for soldiers.
This was an article. Go for it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It says parents of children says if you are anything like I was 10 years ago, when you hear the term post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD, you picture a soldier coming back from war. You picture a soldier with the nights of terror and rage as he or she deals with the traumatic images and experiences he or she may have incurred on the front line. I talk with a lot of medical students and new parents about some of my earlier experiences with my daughter, but I do not talk about them a lot publicly. Sorry. There are a few things that happened in the first 2 years of being a mom that took me to a dark place. Once I found my way out of the darkness, I began trying to help others find the light as well. I've talked before about grief and the stages of adaptation and how these have impact on parents and children with complex needs. Today I want to talk a little bit about PTSD. When I used to tell our story, I could not get through it without completely breaking down. As I would tell people about her birth and the first time I saw her, it would feel like I was reliving the entire thing. I could smell the juice the nurse would bring me to help hydrate me while I was pumping. I could smell the alcohol they used to wipe everything down. I could hear the 10 different alarms all chirping their own melodies. I could see the pain in my husband's eyes. Everything was vivid and so real. As I told the story time after time, I was taking myself through it all over again. This happened for me the first 2 years. I would be at the grocery store and hear a sound that would set me off, or maybe a family member would say something that would trigger an episode. I avoided places and people I knew would trigger the event. I had no idea what was wrong with me. I thought it was just that I was just sad and that I didn't know how to get past it. One day someone told me I was experiencing PTSD. What? I'm not a soldier. I'm a mom. I had no idea someone like me could end up with that diagnosis.
Yeah.
Trauma is a very scary and real thing. My daughter's intense delivery and being told every day that my child would not survive the night was traumatic. With the diagnosis, I realized I was not alone, that many parents medically complex children have endured this with the support life in NIC unit suffering from PTSD. So this woman, I'm guessing from what it says, she's gone through a very traumatic birth with the child, and lots of parents, you know, child being turned upside down, not, you know, after you've carried this little human inside of you for 9 months, to come to find out that it might not survive the birth, it might not survive through the night after the birth, can definitely set you back. It says, if you're reading this and thinking, that's me, that's what I'm going through, please know that you're not alone and you can get through this. Once I understood why I was not able to get past these early events in my daughter's life, I was able to address my issues, and I eventually get to a place where I can tell our story without revealing it. Some people are able to work through this on their own, but therapy may not be needed in many cases too. Therapy may be needed in many cases too. There are many therapists who specialize in helping parents of complex medical issues. If you're having a hard time getting through it, there is no shame for asking for help.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to know that, you know, people suffer from all sorts of traumatic experiences. It's not just being in the war or being a family member, but like this lady had, you know, PTSD from her childbirth or the birth of her child, rather. And people have it from their parents passing away. People have it from seeing car crashes, being in car crashes. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that can trigger this. And cannabis has proven to be a really helpful tool in maybe not remembering those memories so much. Maybe going to bed and having a peaceful night's sleep without your brain going so hard at work to relive everything you were just trying to forget. You know what I mean? And maybe not even necessarily forget, but just not remember every day and be able to go out in the world and not get triggered by something. I was interpreting in a history class once where a war survivor, he had been in Vietnam, and he came and talked, and he said he had PTSD so bad he was he couldn't go to picnics or parks or anything that had to do with the 4th of July. Any loud bang, and he would just drop to the floor and crawl under the next tree and hide. He said he couldn't. It took him a long time to get through that, but those are just experiences, you know, and it can happen from darn near anything. If it's too emotional for you, you know, and it brings back those negative, challenging effects, that's PTSD, and that's one of the conditions that you can actually get certified now for in Arizona, with correct documentation from your psychiatrist, of course. But come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back, cozy little place. Come and get educated. We have we've got this new magazine down there. It's called Dope Magazine. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a really cool cover. This kind of on the light. It goes into lots of great information. Those are free. We've got the latest edition of High Times Magazine with Lilies on top. You can check this out, how to grow your plants bigger, and you can read about Whoopi supporting getting into the edibles now and getting into the cannabis industry. But come on down, support your local cannabis business, and if you're in pain, come and see if this might be an option for you. Like you say, it's not for everybody, but it just might be for you. Give it a chance and get educated before you go down to the dispensary and eat an entire candy bar. We keep talking about this a lot, about proper dosage for cannabis, and it's something that people are working on, but it's hard to regulate and hard to exact, so they're working on it. We always just caution and warn people to just start really slowly, get something in your system, that maybe you don't feel such a great effect from the first time, you know, but just get it in there. You don't want to, you know, have a scary effect, because oftentimes people will go to a dispensary and the person behind the counter says, oh, sure, just eat half the candy bar, you'll be fine. And it's a 100 milligram candy bar, and they've just eaten 50 milligrams. And if that's a new user, that's going to just really upset somebody. We'll say that. That might have some severely negative effects. You might get nauseous. You might be paranoid. You might, well, you might sleep for a while, which is what you might need. But
cannabis, it's not the way that you wanted to make you feel.
Yeah, cannabis isn't for everybody, but especially when people do things like that. So get educated on how to use it. Talk
how much you should be using.
How much to use, what kind to use, what strain to get. That's a lot of the challenges for people, too, is they get strains that they don't fully understand. Or, you know, we've heard tale of people going into dispensaries and they say, I've got back pain, and they'll give them a sativa that just might be good for pain, but it's also going to freak them out. So, you know, you have to tell people that might be a little too creative for some. It might be a little too energetic. What is it? Blue Dream, Green Crack, those kinds of strains. If someone has anxiety issues, you don't want to give them those. Like, I think it's important for the counter people. I'm not going to call them bud tenders. I really don't like that term. kind of. Anyway, but people behind the counter, I hope you guys are all, guys and gals are all getting educated about the different strains, the terpenes, and the effects that it can have for new people, because we get a lot of older people, and I'm talking like 70, 80, 90 year olds are coming in to get their cannabis cards, and they've never done it. It's always been taboo for them. Or it's been in their medicine cabinet and they haven't even known it. But it's you need to be sensitive with people, because you don't want to hurt them and you don't want to scare them. Some people are on medication to, you know, lower their blood pressure. So you don't want to give them an indica that's going to lower it even more that much and hurt them. You know what I mean? So you got to talk to your doctors about it if you feel comfortable. If not, at least you can come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center and talk to our doctors and get educated. You can talk to the staff, talk to the owners. We're there to help you guys understand this plant the best that we know. We try to educate ourselves as much as possible. And there you have it. Get educated, folks. That's what I have to say, right?
Get educated.
I hate not having you in the room. It's ridiculous.
I know.
And Dope Magazine is called Weed Weed, Weed Weed. So it starts here. A group of prominent Colorado cannabis companies, that's pretty cool, have proposed major changes to state law. The proposal suggests a wish list of events where cannabis could be bought and consumed, and more controversially, a request to relax pesticide rules. Some agree with Governor John Hickenlooper that the list suggests that companies are beginning to put profits over public safety. I think that's a dangerous place for the industry to be in. Hickenlooper, that's a good one. Hickenlooper warned. Wow. Alaska, the only state that has agreed to allow pot cafes, is now creating rules for them. According to one proposal, cafes would be banned from offering happy hours and pot giveaways, but they could serve food and non-alcoholic drinks. In addition, customers would not be allowed to move their purchases off the premises. Just like bars, they don't allow to-go cups. So the first cafes are likely to open in September or later after this year's tourist season is over. Well, that's pretty cool, don't you? That's basic. You don't, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think this is going to be interesting to see what all these different places pop up. Walgreens, America's largest pharmacy chain, posted some medical marijuana basics on its public blog. Cannabis finance expert Alan Brockstein wrote, I can't recall any S&P 500 company ever sharing such a supportive view of cannabis. Written by a pharmacist, the post goes into the dangers, possible benefits, and legality of medical cannabis. The content is strictly informative, and nowhere do we take any stance on the issue, a company spokesperson told the Huffington Post. That's pretty cool, and that's what we're talking about, education. At least they're educating their staff and their pharmacists about it. If someone says, hey, I'm on cannabis, they go, oh, okay, this is how it may or may not interact with the ibuprofen you need, or the morphine you need, or the Vicodin, or whatever else you need.
you know, the vitamin C you need. Whatever it is that you need.
So true.
They're coming to bat with education now instead of just going, oh, you can't talk about that.
And pretend like it's not happening.
Yeah, it's not there. I can't say anything. Oh, boy. Canada's Liberal Party wants to legalize cannabis in spring of 2017, fulfilling one of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's campaign promises. The left-wing New Democratic Party called for immediate decriminalization. The previous Prime Minister, Conservative Stephen Harper, called marijuana infinitely worse than tobacco. And now the issue is dividing members of his party. Canada has legalized medical marijuana, and while the country does not technically allow dispensaries, they are able to operate under a gray area of the law and can be found throughout the country. Huh, that's interesting. Minutes before the NFL draft, a two-year-old video surfaced of then Ole Miss offensive lineman Laramie Tunsil smoking out of a gas mask bong. Ugh. The discovery likely cost Tunsil, a top prospect, several places in the draft order and millions of dollars. Tunsil can expect to a deal worth about $12 million as the number 13 pick for the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins said that Tunsil would not go through the NFL substance abuse program. Interesting.
Huh. Well, he's a big supporter of the whole neuroprotectant. You know, he's with one of the groups that are out there talking to people about football and the concussions that are happening. So,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I believe so.
That's what so it's good to have those people that are out there that are actually experiencing those kinds of concussions or those heavy impacts on their body. You know,
and that
to know that.
Yeah. Soccer, and they're coming down on those kinds of sports too. They're not allowing headbutting and things like that because they're finding about, you know, all these concussions that they're coming out that it's not a good thing to slam your body around so much and just take pills to try and cover it when it doesn't really work all that well. And then, you know, you get a high suicide rate and all sorts of bad things. We talked to Kyle Turley at the conference, and he's very adamant about Canada saving his life and his family and himself. So check this out, because it's always important to take care of your whole being. You know, you want to eat good, you want to exercise. So the world's first marijuana-friendly gym is opening.
Oh, wow.
Power Plant Fitness is set to be the world's first marijuana-friendly gym. It will be opening soon in San Francisco, California. Gym members will be able to consume marijuana on-site. The mission of Power Plant Fitness is to reverse the lazy stereotypes about pot users. Co-founder of Power Plant Fitness, Jim McAlpine, says, "It won't be a place to get high and just screw around. We're focused on the athletic side, not the cannabis side." Power Plant Fitness will do more than just provide a gym environment for its members, according to Tech Insider. The company will also work with members by completing a marijuana performance assessment, which helps members determine the best way for individual users to consume marijuana. The gym sees marijuana as a tool for focus and recovery, McAlpine told Tech Insider. McAlpine also wrote that, "We will be helping our members figure out how it is best for them to ingest their cannabis. In the beginning stages, edibles and vaping will be permitted on site. An outdoor marijuana use area will be constructed in the future as San Francisco city and county laws are amended in the coming years. Prior to opening, the gym has to establish how it can legally offer marijuana products, as it may have to be listed as a dispensary lounge, according to California law." Well, good for them. That's fantastic. That's great.
It is
great. You know, if you're on Green Crack or Blue Dream, you're not sitting around. You're definitely
That's for sure.
Yeah, you've got energy.
You're in the gym.
You're in the gym playing guitar for hours on end, and it's a good thing.
Doing a little bit of cardio.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. We're checking out azmarijuana.com right now, and they've got this article about the 8 most popular marijuana industry jobs in the U.S. You want to know what they are? So the legalized marijuana industry in the United States is booming. In 2015, legal sales reached $5.7 billion, up from $4.6 billion in 2014, and demand is expecting to continue through 2016 as the industry is projected to grow to $7.1 billion. All this growth means that jobs are in high demand. And the best place to find jobs in the legal U.S. marijuana industry is at 420careers.com, the marijuana's industry-leading job site. All right. So check it out. The website just released a list of the 8 most popular marijuana industry jobs in the U.S. and a list of the 5 most popular auxiliary marijuana jobs in the U.S. Many employers in the legalized marijuana industry don't require previous work experience at a marijuana company, so almost anyone 18 or older with a high school degree can obtain a job in the industry, a spokesperson for 420careers.com stated. So here are the 8 most popular marijuana jobs in the U.S. just for fun. Number one, what do you think it is, Cannabis Kid?
Bud tender.
And you're right. Woo-hoo! All right. Number two, give it a go.
Grower.
Sales rep. Sales product. Sales rep. Edibles to dispensary. Okay. Number three. Ooh, interesting. This one is extraction technicians. They make the marijuana concentrate.
Ooh. That's
number
a
four,
new one.
Edible makers. They make the marijuana-infused foods and drinks.
Time to make the edibles.
Dispensary security. And I don't know if you all heard this, but over the weekend, we're very sorry to hear that a dispensary security guard was shot multiple times and passed away in Colorado this weekend after an attempt at a robbery in a dispensary.
Oh, jeez. That's hard.
That's so sad. It's unreal. And that person didn't deserve that. And anyway,
protecting patients.
Yeah, number six, marijuana growers, which you would think would be number one or two, because without that, you kind of can't have any. Seven are the trimmers. Oh, yeah, huge. Eight are the dispensary managers. They manage all various aspects of dispensary. And the 5 most popular auxiliary jobs in the U.S. are consultants for business management, cultivation, etc., lawyers, accountants, marketing, and web developers and designers. So there you have it. That's awesome. Just some little fun facts for you. But like we've said before, and we want to send some prayers out to Cheryl Schumann. She's having some hard times right now. But Cheryl Schumann said when we went to our went to the Southwest Cannabis Expo, she said, "Folks, anyone who wants to get in this can get in it. We've just started." She said, "We're in the basement level of beginning this whole industry, and if you have an idea, bring it forward. If you want to get into this, come on in and bring your creativity and your thoughts and ideas and be kind and share them, right? Share the love, share the education, and I can't even believe it's this time of the show already, but it is. We want to say thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us. We're sorry we weren't together, but we're so happy that you all were here. Thank you, TumbleweedHealthCenter.com. Thank you, Growers House. Thank you, Cannabis Kids. Thank you,
Bellstar.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody for tuning in, for chatting with us, for blogging with us. We love the show, and we love doing this for you. So tune in each week, each Wednesday, 8 to 9 a.m. You can go to TumbleweedHealthCenter.com and listen to over 4 years worth of episodes. Sorry for you. But get educated. We've had everybody from our own federal patients to Doug Fine, author and hemp lover extraordinaire, Robert Flatshorn, so many people. Come
doctors,
on air.
Lawyers, patients, dispensary owners, bud tenders.
Growers, the whole nine, everybody. So get on air with us. Come see us. And remember the most important thing,
be
smart.
Be smart.
Be safe. And
educate.
All right. We love you guys. Have a great week.
Take care,
pal.
Hear you guys next week.
Get better.
I will. Thank you.